we so quickly forget. We so quickly pass through Easter and get into springtime and move on, and we forget. Just 3 Sundays ago, we sat here in the same place and we celebrated Palm Sunday. We remembered the Lord's Supper. The events that surrounded that day in Jesus' life were just as real. He came into Jerusalem. He rode in on a borrowed animal. He was hailed as a king. They laid palm branches down and they wanted him to be the King of Kings, and they wanted him to take over the government. They wanted him to do so many things. And as the week transpired and as he talked with his disciples, they made ready the upper room to celebrate. Now Jesus knew what was going to happen that night, but the disciples thought this was just another Passover. Satan had already entered into Judas, and plans were underway for him to sell his master for 30 pieces of silver. That night, Jesus took the bread and he broke it. He said, "This is my body. As often as you eat this, remember me." Then he took the cup. He said, "This is my blood. As often as you drink this, remember me." I think those disciples, as we've portrayed them here during the Passion, probably didn't understand fully what Jesus was saying. And Judas left. They went to the garden that night and they prayed, and Jesus prayed hard. That night they arrested him. And all of the disciples scattered and the women left, and Jesus was taken to Pilate and then Caiaphas and Pilate again. And probably the most humiliating of all things was when they put him up beside the worst criminal mastermind of their day and said, I'll let your Jesus go, or I'll let Barabbas go." And they cried, "Barabbas, send out that scoundrel. We love him." Then they took Jesus and they scourged him. They whipped him. None of us in this room probably could withstand that. Most people will die from bleeding out. Then they platted a crown of thorns and put it on his head. They made him carry a cross up the Via Della Rosa up to the place called Golgotha. And they literally nailed his body to a wooden cross. And he died there. We recall the 7 last words. I think for me the most important was when he said, "Forgive them." Because I was them. And you were them. "Forgive them, for they know not what they do." And he died on that cross. Joseph of Arimathea came and asked permission and got it, and he took his body down and placed him in a borrowed tomb that Friday evening so that they could keep him, have him buried before sundown, and they could celebrate their Passover and that weekend. And then Sunday came. Mary and some of the other women went to open the tomb and to dress his body properly and maybe to see him for one last time and to pay their respects. And when they got there, the tomb was open. And that began a whole series of events where Jesus began to appear to Mary and to the other women. And then Peter and John run and they don't find him then. But later on the Emmaus Road, Jesus appears to those two men and their hearts burned as Jesus told them all that did happen and will happen from Scripture. And then Peter has his moment with Jesus. Then the disciples came together and Thomas was missing and Jesus appears. And then Thomas comes later and says, "I'm not going to believe this because I'm politically correct. I got everything right. I'm better than this. Come on, guys. Show me his hands. Show me his feet. No wound. You're going to have to show me. So Jesus showed him. Jesus appears now, seventh time in this passage of Scripture that I want to read this morning. Interesting that the children were talking about this in Sunday school. I didn't know that. You have your Bible. I want you to turn with me to John chapter 21. And I want to begin reading at the very first verse because this story is important. This is one of those post-resurrection appearances of Jesus where everything gets turned around in the right direction once and for all. It says in verse 1, afterwards Jesus appeared again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas the one called Didymus, Nathanael from Canaan in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, James and John, you know, the wild boys. We call them Wilkies around here, I think. Whoops. No, we don't. And two other disciples, they came together. I'm going out to fish, Simon Peter said. And they said, we're going to go with you. And so they went out and they got into their boat. And that night they caught absolutely nothing. Now that's a fisherman's worst nightmare. To get all your stuff together and to go out, they want to catch fish. They're not going out there to talk to one another. They don't even like each other that much. Think about it. They want to catch fish. They didn't catch a thing. Verse 4 says, early that morning, Jesus stood there on the shore, but the disciples didn't realize that it was Jesus. They just saw a man over there. And he called out to them because they weren't that far out. And he said, friends, haven't you any fish? And they said, no. And he said, well, throw your net out on the right side of the boat and you'll find some there. I can see Peter. Who is this guy on the shore? Who does he think he is? We fished all night and the fish just aren't here. But when they did, they threw it out to the right. They were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. And then the disciple whom Jesus loved, and that's John. This is what I think is happening. Look at me. John's going, fish. Man on the shore, Peter. Fish. Man on the shore, Peter. He said, Peter, it's the Lord. And everything starts to change. Everything. As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, it is the Lord, he wrapped his outer garments around him because he'd taken them off and he jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the whole net full of fish that they were not far from the shore, about 100 yards. And when they landed, they saw there a fire of burning coals, and there was a fish on it, and there was some bread. And Jesus says to them, bring some of the fish that you've caught. Simon Peter climbed aboard again, and he drags the net ashore. It was full of fish. One of the little children told me this morning, 153. I said, you got it. But even with so many, the net was not even torn. Jesus said, come and have breakfast. I'm going to come back to that. None of the disciples dared ask him who you are because they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came. He took the bread again and he gave it to them and he did the same with the fish. And this was now the third time Jesus had appeared to the disciples. It's about the seventh or eighth time he's appeared in the process of just 2 weeks after the resurrection. And so we come to the three verses which are our key this morning. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, Simon, do you truly love me more than these? Now, was he talking about the fish or was he talking about the disciples? We can debate that. But Jesus is getting to a point where he's going to let Peter make a decision, a monumental decision in his life. And Peter says, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Take care of my little ones. Feed them. Remember, we got to start with the milk before we can get to the meat. So you got to feed the lambs, the little lambs. You got to take care of the children. I'll tell you, Hickory Hill, we've gone through some things here, and we've come to the belief that God says, take care of the children. Mark Club, and on Wednesday night we call it Bible Quest. It's about the children. It's not about us. It's hard. They're loud. They're rambunctious. They dirty the walls. But it's about the children. Peter, feed my lambs. And again, Jesus said, well, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me? He said, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, then take care of my sheep. Those little lambs are going to grow up. You've got to take care of the sheep. Not just the lambs, you've got to take care of the sheep also. And the third time, Jesus said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Now, I don't know about you, but I'm probably more like Peter than I want to be. Peter gets hurt. I think that's a nice way as he's about had enough of this. Now, wait a minute. I've said I love you. I said I love you again. You know, and I'm now you've asked me a third time? But I think the Spirit of God gets hold of me and He says, do you love me? I said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said, don't only take care of my sheep, but feed my sheep. Feed them. On Easter Sunday, I brought the message about Lazarus who had died. And Jesus was away, and 4 days later, as he comes to the area where Lazarus is in the tomb, Martha comes to him and says, Lord, if you'd been here, he'd not died. I know that. And Jesus said, you know what, he'll rise again. And she says, I know he'll rise in the day. That day's coming. I know he's going to rise then. But Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. And he asked the question, do you believe this? The resurrection makes all the difference for all of us. Last week we talked about the question centered around, who do you say that I am? Once you believe in the resurrection, you have to understand who He is. He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. It doesn't matter what the world is saying. You know, Jesus asked Him, what is the world saying? Well, they're saying this, and they're saying that, and they're saying the other thing. But Jesus said, but who do you say that I am? Who do you believe that I am? Who are you willing to trust your life in and believe and follow in this life? So today the question is, do you love me? Do you love me? Talking about Jesus. Because now the third step takes you a little bit further. Yes, Lord, what the girls did. All He wants you to say is yes. Don't worry about where the yes takes you. Don't worry about what the yes cost you. Just go when He says, when He calls in your life. He's not asking you the theological question for you to debate. He's not asking you about eschatology. He's asking you, what are you going to do about what you believe and who you say I am? Peter, do you love me? Do you? Peter denied Him three times. Three is an important number in the Bible. Jesus was in that grave 3 days. Jonah was in that belly of the whale 3 days. Paul lost his sight for 3 days. Peter denied Jesus three times. Three times, and the Gamecock crowed. That's Clemson right here. You got to be careful. Three times. Three times. And I believe that Peter's still carrying the burden of that sin on his shoulders. I think it's weighing him down. I think he's hurt from within. You know that feeling. You know that feeling when you've made a mistake. You know that feeling when you've come short and you've not done what you should have done. You know that feeling when you walk up to someone you may have hurt and you look at them and you feel the shame. And Jesus is saying, Peter, three times, he's saying, do you love me? Yes. Do you love me? Yes. Do you love me? Yes, Lord, I do. And he remembers each time he denied his Lord when he responded. Here's a statement I want you to hear. When Jesus begins to question Peter and to question his faith, he's not bringing retribution to a fallen man. He's bringing resurrection to a redeemed man. And he's bringing it today. Not just Easter, not just a week after Easter, not just 2 weeks after, but for eternity if you will believe this. And if you'll call him Christ. And if you will love him and make a difference in people's lives. Romans 10 verse 17 says, consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ. It's not about anything else. It's not about scientific discoveries. It's not about an election process. It's not about rules and law. It's about Jesus. Ephesians 2 verses 8 and 9 says, for by grace we are saved through faith and not of ourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I can't do anything to earn God's grace. He has given me the gift of grace. James 2:17 says, in this same way, faith by itself is not accomplished by action alone, because it's dead, but we still have to do what God calls us to do. I have a mentor in church education in my past. His name was Neil Jackson. He was a Sunday school consultant for the Baptist Sunday School Board, which is now Lifeway Christian Resources. He is retired now. He's still kicking a little bit. I think he's around 90 at this point. But Neil used to say very emphatically, you ain't saved to sit. You are saved to serve. So get up and get going. He would say that over and over and over again. And I've heard it in my sleep. If you're not doing something, you're in the way. And you're keeping someone else from doing more than they could do. And Jesus said, Peter, do you love me? Or are you standing in the way? We struggle with this. The word that Jesus used, when Jesus said, Peter, do you love me? Is a Greek word, agape. It is a word for unconditional love. And we struggle with this. It's hard to forgive. It's hard to move on. It's hard to allow that in our lives. We've all failed the Lord. The Bible says that. But this is where people see the hypocrisy. When we won't forgive. This is where we lose our witness and our power. And God's not able to use us or doesn't use us in those moments when we want Him the most to use us. We've got to be consistent. Peter, do you love me? I think Peter and Jesus have this conversation. I think Peter's sitting there and Jesus is saying, you know, it didn't happen the way you thought it was going to happen, did it? You didn't get what you thought you were going to get, did you? Caught you off guard. And when that little girl asked you, you're the one, you know, you was with him, you ran like a scared bunny rabbit. This is what I want you to know, Peter. Peter, you can't understand unconditional love. You can never understand me. You don't hold grudges. You don't take a tally. You don't keep records. Because you are a sinner, Peter. And you got to remember unconditionally, I know what you did. I know how you denied me. I saw you run and hide. You were not there on Golgotha. I know you were afraid. And Peter, most people would walk away from you, but I want to know, do you love me? Because I love you. And I will always love you. Now, each time that Peter responded, Jesus said, do you agape me? Do you love me with an unconditional love? Do you love me? It doesn't matter what. And each time Peter responds with the Philios word, the word for where we get Philadelphia, brother, a city of brotherly love. He says, I love you like a brother. love you like a brother. And that sounds like that's the end of it. No, it's got to get beyond brotherly love. Because I get mad as a snake at my brother sometimes. And you do too. God's love is unconditional. God's love is everlasting. God's love is all-forgiving. God's love never ends. And we need to remember that. And we need to, when we get ready to do something or act some way or go off in a direction, we need to remember the question Jesus asked Peter, do you love me? Before you do that, do you love me? Because if you love me, you're not going to do that. You're going to do what I want you to do. You're going to be what I want you to be. You're going to go where I want you to go. See, I really believe with all my heart, this was a defining moment in Peter's life. Now we've still not gotten to the day of Pentecost. We'll get there. Not today. But I think this is a defining moment in the life of Peter. See, God had to, before God could fill him up, God had to empty him. Before God could enable him, God had to disable him. Before God could make him whole, God had to break him to pieces. Before God could send him out, God had to bring him in. Before God could lift him up, God had to take him down. And before God could say, go preach about forgiveness, Peter had to know what real forgiveness was. See, we're struggling today in America. We're struggling today in the church in America. Because we've forgotten three questions. The last of which is, do we really love Him? I can't believe what's happening in America. What's happening in North Carolina and all these businesses say they're not going to come there. Shame on those businesses. If I had it within my power, I'd put those businesses out of business. And I could care less if Bruce Springsteen ever comes back to North Carolina, South Carolina, or America. Do we love Him? Do we want to believe, we want to understand, we want to do better, we want to witness, we want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, but do we love Him enough that that could happen in our lives? Peter had to get to that broken moment before Jesus when there was nothing left but Jesus. And once Jesus lifted him up, everything then began to... And he got to the day of Pentecost when God said, this is the time, this is the direction, and I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And now you're going to be the believer and the preacher of that truth. I love the 23rd Psalm. So I want to talk you through it. David said, the Lord is my shepherd. That's the only thing I can own in this life is the Lord. He is my shepherd. And he says, I shall not want anything this world has to offer. Nothing. But here's the key. This is what had to happen to Peter. He said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord. Do you love me? Yes, Lord. Do you love me? He had to break him down to lift him up. He had to make him stop and see and understand and know. He made him lie down in green pastures. He didn't make him lie down in the mud and water in it. He didn't stick his nose in it. He laid him down in a safe place so he could lift him up to a grace place. Do you love me? He makes me lie down in green pastures, and then he leads me beside the still waters. In the midst of all the stuff that's going around, in the midst of everything that's happening in our life, in the midst of turmoil and trouble, sickness and heartache, there's still waters to drink from. Now, I don't know this to be a fact. I'm not a hunter. I don't get into the woods that much unless I'm lost. But I understand a deer can't drink from a raging flood. They need the still waters. the cool waters, the blessed water that quenches their thirst and restores their soul. Because that's what it does. He took Peter down and He made him sit and He gave him the cool water, and the psalm says He restored his soul. America needs their soul restored. And only God can do that. And then He leads us into paths of righteousness for His name's sake. He says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I think about these Christians in these countries that are having their heads cut off. What kind of evil leads a man to do something like that? Well, I tell you, that's an evil with a D in front of it. It's an evil that believes it can do anything, say anything, go anywhere. But when Jesus comes, they will be made to lie down. But they won't have still water. They'll have eternal damnation. But we even must tell them about Jesus until He comes again. But He says, He restores my soul. And He leaves, yea, though I walk through this valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no devil, no evil. Because His rod protects me and His staff guides me, and both together comfort me every day of my life. And then there's that table. I told you I'd come back to that. There's that table. He says, He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Come and have breakfast, Peter. In your sinfulness, in your loneliness, in your separation, come, Peter, and have breakfast with me. I told the men yesterday that came, you broke ground yesterday because we don't normally have a men's table at the women's mission team. I also told them, don't make any suggestions, don't make any comments, do what you're told. Where's Richardson? He's not here. There he is. They said, tell Richardson that again. And I also said, guys, it's dainty. It's a salad. Get over it. Eat it. But the women love it. I'm telling you. It takes a couple of days to prepare that. But here's the point of this. That missions tea yesterday, that wasn't even a little piece of an appetizer compared to the banquet table that is prepared before the enemies in heaven waiting for us when we go to celebrate Him, when He raises us up in His image to be with Him forevermore. It's only an appetizer. It's a teaser. I hate it when I get a teaser appetizer. But I don't hate this one. I love this one. Peter, do you love me? Because surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life on this earth and all the days of my life in heaven, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. It ain't going to be like that other denomination. When the preacher gets up there and Peter's taking him around to show him all of heaven, and tells him, shh, be quiet. And walk by this particular area, and he says, now you can talk. And he says, why? He says, well, that's the people you didn't think were going to be here. We didn't want to disturb them. They're going to be there. If they love Jesus, they're going to be there forever. Peter, do you love me? Do you love me? That question should ring in our ears for the remainder of this day, maybe the remainder of this week. Peter, do you love me? Feed my lambs. Peter, do you love me? Take care of my sheep. Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep. Those are all action words. I don't do them to get saved. I do them out of gratitude for being saved. And I pray that you are today doing the same. When it comes time to give, we give. When it comes time to serve, we serve. Yes, it's a little inconvenient. Yes, it might not be the right time. But I think God's calling us to rise up in a nation that is going the wrong direction. And unless the church rises up, the body of Christ rises up, we're in trouble and we've got to change what it is we've been doing. So I end one more time. Church, Jesus says, do you love me? Let's pray. Lord, if anyone had shame on his mind, it had to be Peter. Only John hung around the cross. Everybody else left. Judas betrayed him, then took his own life. This wasn't good. And Lord, you could have pointed the finger. You could have made accusations. You could have punished them. But when you said it was finished, you didn't say you were going to bring it back up. It was done. And you forgave the whole world of our sin. Lord, we thank you. God, we praise you. We worship you. We ask you right now to fill us again with your presence. As you did with Peter, if you have to take us all the way down so you can lift us all the way up, may thy will be done. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. My Jesus, I love thee. If you mean it, sing it like you mean it. Let's stand. If you need to make a commitment this morning, I'll be here waiting on you. You want to come and pray at the altar? God's altar is always open. Let's worship Him as we conclude. Church, do you love Him?
Yes.
Let's go out this door and let the world hear that. Let's pray. Let's pray. Father, thank you as we go out these doors to tell the world we love Jesus. He's all that matters. In His name we pray. Amen.